Thank you for loving us just as we are, for saying, come to me just as you are, and I will do everything. I will do all the perfecting. I will grow you up. I will make that dress for you that's without spot or wrinkle. Please let the words that come out of my mouth today be your words and not my own. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. It was interesting the other day. I had this thought. I was like, God, why don't we have a Paul nowadays that writes letters to churches? You know, because of all the things that have been going on at all the different churches, you know, and like, you know, with Gateway and all that kind of stuff. And I was like, we need a Paul. I don't want to be the Paul to write the letters. I mean, if God wants me to, I'd be more than happy. But it was interesting because he was showing me, I spent a lot of time watching little videos on health and creationism and that kind of stuff. And this periodically it'll throw a little Catholic video in there. And I'm always very, very, I reserve a lot. I don't trust them. And so it was interesting. This guy said something about, you know, you're saved, and then but you have to have works to be saved. And then I start going off on the guy, and I was like, you don't need works to be saved. What about the guy on the cross? The guy on the cross didn't have any works, and he went to heaven and everything. And then God gently rebuked me. I was like, thank you, Jesus. And that's how God does it. It's always a very gentle rebuke. He's like, you don't have to go after them. He goes, you just have to show them the truth. And you do it very gently. He goes, because people are seeking. It's amazing to me how many people are going to the Catholic Church lately. And they're like, well, they're not all the weirdness that's going on at these other churches that are falling apart. It's like, it's weird. It's like, man, there's perversion there and perversion there. I don't know which one you're going to choose. There's garbage in both. But I was at my dentist this week, and I finally got my tooth in my head. So that's good. I can chew on this side of my face again. I feel excited about that. But I was talking to the young gal who was the dental assistant, and I'd asked her before and I forgot. I said, yeah, where do you go to church? And she goes, oh, you know. I was like, oh, yeah, that's right. I said, you go to Gateway. And I wanted to talk to her, but they had their hands all in my mouth and everything, and then I forgot about it. And then later that day, the Lord said, call her and build her up, and here's what you're going to say. And I was like, okay. So I called and I said, hey, can I talk to, you know, when she gets a break, can I talk to Angel? Her name's Angel. And I'd like to talk to her and just talk to her about what we were talking about earlier. And she didn't call me back that day, but she called me back the next day. And I said, she goes, I saw you called me. She goes, that was so weird. I wanted to ask you how I should feel about what happened. And I was like, well, God already told me what to say to you. And he said, the church is not the pastor. The church is the body. I said, so don't worry about your pastor screwing up. I said, the church is the body. I said, you build each other up. The pastor is just there to lead, but you guys should be in the word. You guys should be building each other up. So don't worry if your pastor falls. He's just a man. All men fall. We do dumb things. And she's like, I said, so you don't have to leave your church. You don't have to burn it to the ground. And she's like, oh, yeah. Yeah, I know. I know. She did. She goes, where do you go to church? Anyway. So it was good. And so what God was showing me was, one of the things I got in the discussion with that guy about is I was like, I hate denominations. I hate denominations. I said, because it's a division between the body of Christ and we should be unified. And denominations are like, well, I believe in this. I don't believe in that. And we allow this and we don't allow that. And I'm like, we have a word and we stand on it. You know, my friend Chad in, not this Chad, wherever he's at. Sorry, I'm blind. Chad in Fort Worth posted a video about another pastor who was like, he's like, well, Jesus is the ultimate authority and it's not the Bible. I'm like, wait, what? This is the Word of God, inspired by God, the Holy Spirit, written by the Holy Spirit. So obviously Jesus is the ultimate authority, but this is his word. This is the word coming out of his mouth. Yeah. And so if you were to say that the Bible is not the ultimate authority, you're an idiot and you should not be a pastor. And that guy, his father was a mighty man of God. His, thank goodness I have not fallen from the perch that my dad put me on. Like some of these other guys. And it's not the guy in Houston. I'm not talking about him. He's weird too. But you know what? It's okay. God can speak out of the mouth of a donkey. Amen. People are like, what? People are like, well, he's got sin in his life. You're like, every one of us has done something stupid in our life, and God can still use us. And God has used me even when I wasn't seeking him. So that's not a prerequisite for being used by God. God can use anybody. He uses evil people. He used Pharaoh. Pharaoh didn't even believe in God, and he used Pharaoh to bless the Israelites. They didn't know it, but he did. God can use whoever he wants. So our thing is we have to go to God and go, God, what are you doing here? Let me understand. And not try to, and he may say, hey, it's not for you to know. And you go, okay, well then tell me what to do. So it's good. Hey, somebody got a message. Maybe it's from God. So that's why it's good to have your own relationship with God, so that when things like that come about, they don't. What's the scripture about every wind of doctrine tossing you to and fro? We're not tossed. We have authority. We speak with authority. We say, I know the truth, and you're not wavering. That's why I love listening to these people who speak on creation and evolution, and because there's one, I saw a video yesterday, and a guy was like, well, it's not really that important. I'm like, it's very important. It's the beginning of everything. It's the beginning. It's the first 11 chapters of the book of the Bible. And if you're saying it's not important, you're saying that God's word is not important. You're saying, hey, just chuck the first 11 books of the Bible. They're not important. It's like, no, that's the foundation of everything. That's where God started everything. That's where God said, this is what I want. I had this revelation the other day. God came down and walked with Adam and Eve physically. I don't know why I never thought of that. I mean, I knew it as a kid. I knew that. He physically was standing there walking with them, talking with them, and that's what he wants. We don't have that now. We have to hear him in our hearers or our heart, you know, or through somebody else's mouth. We don't physically get to walk with God, but God's desire is that we physically spend time with him. We see him. We see him right there with our own eyes. And that's his desire for us. I get on that a lot with the whole evolution creation thing. But to me, it's very important because a lot of the church, I don't know if you know this, a lot of the church is okay with evolution. And it's evil. Woohoo! Don't draw attention to her. And I thought of this because an evolutionist will say that Christians start with the idea of God and then everything is based on that. But the truth is, a Christian will start with the idea of God and go, does what I see, taste, touch, feel line up with that? And it does. Whereas an evolutionist will say, here's my idea. How can I force everything I see, touch, taste, and feel work with that? And that's why it goes from, you know, thousands of years to hundreds of thousands of years to millions of years to billions of years, because they can't ever make it work. They can't make it work. So that, because they don't want God. That's the problem is they are running from God. And the problem is that's the church's fault, because the church doesn't put on a, this is who God is face. They're abusive of the world, and the world goes, yeah, don't judge me. It's like, I'm not judging you. If I didn't have God, I'd be right where you're at. Trust me, I'm not judging you. I love you. And because I love you, I'm going to tell you the truth. And there's no anger or malice in me. And I hope you accept what I'm saying. Because there's a Father that loves you. He loves you enough to send his Son to die on the cross. And then not even do that, but erase from the dead. You know, Mom and I were talking this morning, and our God is the only God who gives us choice. You know, he says, you know, every other God said, you do it this way or, you know, you don't get my deal. And our God said, hey, I'm going to give you the choice whether to. I know Raul and I have this discussion a lot. He goes, I want you to choose my deal, but I'm not going to force you to. You know, it sounds awful. You're like, well, it's either heaven or hell. You know, but it's like there are people that would choose hell because they have this idea that hell is not that bad. You know, that's some, you know, the Satanists will tell people that hell is like a 24/7 party. And it is. It's a party of you being separated from God for eternity. And that's the only thing that keeps us alive is the breath of God. I can't even imagine, you know, people say, well, you know, does everything go right when you become a Christian? You're like, no, but everything that's going to happen to me is going to happen to me. And I'd rather have God with me when it happens to me than not have God with me. That's my joy and my peace and my strength. That's my everything. So I'm going to read out of one of the books from Paul, Thessalonians. Thessalonians, it's good. We need someone. I would love a Paul that sent a letter to our church and go, here's what you're missing. I wouldn't mind that at all. I would not see it as a rebuke. I'd go, because I know our church has an amazing foundation. My dad laid an amazing foundation, but when you have a foundation, you still have to have the rest of the house. You can't just have a foundation. You have to build something on top of it. And so we got to keep going for where dad started us. We can't just stop there. I mean, he's brilliant. I'll never be where he was at, you know, with this theology. He was a theologian. I'm not a theologian. Not because I couldn't be, because I'm not interested in that. It's good to know all that stuff. And I love listening to people who know that stuff. It's fascinating. And I'm glad that there are people to do it. It's just like mom with politics. I'm glad she's into that. I am not into that. I've got burned out in politics and never want anything to do with it again. But I'm glad that there's people that love to do it and that God has put it on their heart to do it. I said this, I don't remember where I said this, in Fort Worth or Dallas. It's like God has a purpose and a plan for everyone, and it's not the same as everybody else. So you find out what God's plan is for you and don't do somebody else's plan and don't force your plan on someone else. You know, if God tells you to do something, it's like I would do that. Mom would say, hey, you need to go out and rake the leaves. And I'd go, hey, Jay, that was my neighbor. I'd be like, you want to come help me rake the leaves? It wasn't his job. Yeah, I'd say something sneaky like, if you come over and help me, we can play sooner. But that wasn't his job. It was my job. Mom gave it to me to do, you know. So don't force your job on somebody else. God will tell them what to do. All right. So, 1 Thessalonians. I'm going to read something real quick. And it's in relation to everything that I was saying the other day. I sent this to the men, the deacons and the pastors. See if I can find the thread. Golly. Here we go. Sorry. Here we go. God keeps saying to me, what's your motive? Meaning, why do you have a motive? My desires should be only the ones that He puts in me. A.K.A. His desires. Death to self brings about a quietness and a hopefulness and obedience to His voice. I was calling someone out the other day, full well knowing that it wasn't the way God would do it. And I saw my answer afterwards. I realized I'm much harder on the apostate church and the not quite got it church than I am on the world. For the world, I would have compassion. I should have the same compassion for the church, not necessarily the leaders, though maybe them too. When you have a bad teaching and you don't dig into God yourself, then you have bad doctrine. Hitting someone over the head with a hammer isn't a way to change their beliefs. Getting before God and seeking His will for that person is the answer. It's fun to see how you can have something so solid in one area and be so off base in another. He's not finished with me yet. Wahoo. So it's good. It is. I'm like, I got this down. And then you're like, so stupid in this other area. And it's like, how? How can I have this so solid and I'd be so ridiculous over here? It's because God's not finished with you yet. He said, that good work I began in you, I will surely complete it. It's good. He's not going to be done with us until it's our time to go home. we're always going to be learning new things. That's the fun thing about God. You think, every time you think, well, I pretty much learned everything about God I need to learn, and then he shows you something new, you're like, oh, awesome. I didn't know everything. Now I got mud on my face because I didn't know everything. So it's always good. I like it when God points out my shortcomings. So and then he doesn't say, all right, I need to fix that. He go, here's your problem, and now I'm going to work on that. And you go, awesome, thanks for working on that for me, because I couldn't do it. All right, Paul and Silvanus and Timothy to the church of the Thessalonians, in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace and peace be to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you guys write letters like that? Every email you should send should say something like that. We give thanks to God always concerning you all, making mention of you. I'm going to kind of go through chapter one pretty quick. It's good. There's lots of good stuff in there, but I want to get into two and three. Mention of you at our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and the patience of hope of our Lord Jesus Christ before our God the Father, knowing, brothers, beloved by God, your election. Okay, so God's saying, Paul is saying, hey, you guys love Jesus. We see it. We were excited when we were there. You guys are the elect of Christ, you know, and the elect just means God said, I was at a meeting one time and the guy said, well, how do you know if you're elect or not? I'm like, well, God said, everybody can come. And if you want to come, come on. And if you say yes, then you're the elect. Yeah. That's like the saints. And the Catholics are always like, the saints. And it's like, no, the Bible says if you're saved, you're a saint. I don't feel like a saint. I don't look like a saint. I was at a camp the other day, and the guy said, he said, can you talk for me for a few minutes? I said, yeah, can I have 7 minutes? He said, yeah, but only 7 minutes. And I spoke for 7 minutes and I was done. And he's like, there was David's first miracle. He only spoke for 7 minutes. So, all right, I'm one miracle away from being a saint, according to the Catholics. So, for our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance, even as you know. So it's good. It wasn't just words. I mean, they saw the power. You know, the Bible says that we're going to see that kind of stuff in these days too. And people do. It happens. So it's not just... growing up, I had a lot of word. I could tell you, I'm very Christian-y. I could talk to anybody in conversation and you would know I'm a Christian by the words that came out of my mouth. But that doesn't mean it's in here. I can say all the right things. And there are a lot of people that I meet that say all the right things. And I go, but you don't. I can tell you have no relationship with God. And I'm not saying that in a judgmental way. I'm just like saying, hey, you need to meet your Creator. He loves you and He wants to converse with you daily. You're missing out on the best part. It'd be like if you bought a car and it had all these features and you just drove it somewhere. You didn't know that it had a radio and that, you know, it had a sunroof and, you know, it has all these cool, fun things. And you're missing out on the cool part, you know. You're going to go to heaven, but you're missing out on the cool part that God has for you, talking with Him. And in much assurance, even as you know that we were among you for your sake. Hey, somebody mentioned to me last week, I'll say this, I'm a little dyslexic, so if I say the wrong words, it's okay. just give me some grace. they're like, you read the wrong words? I'm like, yeah, I'm dyslexic. And they're like, oh, that makes so much more sense. You said two instead of four. So anyway, hallelujah. And you became imitators of us and of the Lord. So that's good. I mean, that's what they say is imitation is the sincerest form of flattery. You know, when someone, you know how I say every day, every week when I preach, I always say, Lord, let the words come out of your mouth and not be my own. So I was at camp. I was a counselor at camp a couple weeks ago. And one of the young men was asked to go up on stage and pray over a certain thing. And right before he started his prayer, he said, Lord, let the words come out of him. I was like, oh my God. I was just crying. I was like, hallelujah. That's awesome. Because he hears me say that every time I preach. And now, and then he said it. He's like, Lord, I was like, that's awesome. So he's imitating me. But that means he's hearing God, you know. God, don't let it be my words. Let it be your words. That's truth. And you become imitators of us and the Lord, welcoming the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit. So that's what Raul was saying. We get afflicted. That's okay. Affliction, when we get afflicted, that means that we're full of joy. We can help others that are going through the same affliction. And it blows people's mind. How are you so happy in this affliction? You're like, I got God. He said, no matter what, he's going to bless me. Even if I die, I'm blessed. You know, if my leg gets cut off, I'm blessed. You know, whatever. You know, if I get thrown in jail, I'm blessed. You know, I have a friend who's in jail in California, and he's not supposed to be there. He was unjustly, but you know what? He started a Bible study. People come to him every day, and he teaches them about God. Hallelujah. So he's not supposed to be there, but maybe he is supposed to be there. He's teaching those people about God. I mean, I sometimes think that would be awesome. I mean, you'd have no responsibility. You just get crappy food 3 times a day, and you get to work out and watch some crummy TV, but then you could read your Bible and talk to people about God. And they're a captive audience. You know, they can't go anywhere. Come on, guys. That was funny. So, that you become examples to all those believing in Macedonia and Achaia. So it's good. So they're doing exactly as Paul did and as Jesus did, and then they're going to be examples to people around them. That's one of the things I always say. I was like, the Catholic people will say, well, we're the original church. And I go, you guys look nothing like the original church. You guys don't look anything like the church in Acts. And that's what God, I mean, again, God is kind of slowly, just gently rebuking me. David, calm down. You're not winning them over. I'm like, okay. Yeah. It's like, and it's true. You don't point out where they're stupid. You point out that God loves them, and you show them who God is, and you tell them about the amazing things they're missing. And they go, why isn't that being taught to me? And you go, well, you're at the wrong church. No. I don't care where you're at. God can talk to you. I don't care if you're a Gateway or you're at a Catholic church. God can talk to you. If you want God to talk to you, I love these little videos of these Muslims, and they're like, Allah, if you're real, come talk to me. And then Jesus shows up and says, hi, I'm Jesus. I want to have a relationship with you. And they're like, who are you? You're this weird prophet that we hear about every once in a while. And they go find out. And then the next day they go, and I've seen story after story. And the next day they go and they talk to someone. And they're like, oh yeah, that's Jesus. Here's a Bible. And it's like, it doesn't matter where you're at. If you want to talk to God, God will find you and talk to you and get his word across to you and have a relationship with you. You just have to have the desire in your heart. And a lot of people just don't know it's there. I mean, it's built into everybody. That's what we're missing is God. And the desire is there. And we fill it with all sorts of other dumb stuff. TV, video games, drugs, alcohol, you know, trying to power, work, anything, you know, sex. We just fill it with all sorts of stuff that's not God. And people go, oh, I've done all of it. And, you know, you always listen to these rich people and they're like, I've done everything and I'm still empty. Why? And they're like, because none of that stuff can fill you. It's the Bible says it's sweet on the tongue and then bitter in the stomach. You know, for the initial whatever, that was awesome. And then you realize it's void. I still don't have the joy. People are always seeking for happiness. It's like, you don't want happiness, you want joy. Happiness is based on your circumstances. Joy is forever. It can't be taken from you. So there in Macedonia and Achaia, for the word of the Lord sounded out from you, and not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith towards God has gone out. That's what our church does. Our church sends people out. That's why our church is so small. We're always getting rid of our people. And they go somewhere else, and they spread what they've been taught. That's what our church does. They spread what they've been taught. That's why it's so good. You can take anybody's message after you heard our message and you can get the good out of it. You know, like if you read James without reading Paul, you would be depressed because you go, well, I have to do all this stuff. But if you read Paul and then you read James, you're like, oh, I was reading James wrong. It's like, oh, through God, I can do all this stuff. Hallelujah. It's not a burden. It's a blessing. So that's why you have to read the whole Bible. You can't just read part of it. You have to read all of it so you can understand it. I'm in Ezekiel right now. I'm trying to read through the whole Bible. It's slow. But Jeremiah was interesting. I liked it. It had a lot of heavy stuff like, you guys, or I'm going to destroy you. But then periodically God would say, you're planted by the rivers and you're a tree and you're a flourish. I'm like, wow, that's awesome. God never wants to destroy his people. He always wants to bless them. But he's like, hey, if you want to go down that way, I'll help you out. Here's the door. You know, it's like, he's not going to stop you. But as soon as you go, yeah, that was dumb, he'll go, yeah, come on back. And you're like, woo, thank you, Jesus. Prodigal son, you know, just come back. Come back. Don't worry about it. The Father loves you just as much as before. He knows you're going to do dumb stuff, not worried about it. I think that's the problem with people is they're like, well, I did too many dumb things. God's not going to take me back. It's like, no, he'll take you back immediately. Just wants you to come back. In every place that has gone out, so that there is no need for us to have to say anything. For they themselves announced concerning us what kind of entrance we have to you and how you had turned to God from the idols to serve the true and living God. So it's good. So they're saying, he's like, I don't even need to come. You guys got it. And eagerly to await his son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, the one delivering us from the wrath to come. It's good when I love seeing new Christians, man. They're so on fire. And you're like, slow down, man. You're going to burn out. But it's good, man. You see the fervor in them and you're like, that's awesome. You're almost a little jealous. You're like, man, why am I not that way still? That's the way we should be. We should be excited. And then fire, I'm going to go out and tell people about Jesus. And these people don't even know. They don't even know the whole thing. They just know a little bit. They know, you know, John 3:16, for God so loved the world. That's right, all you need to know. Just, hey, go out. Just one verse. And then, you know, the problem is when you go out and the people go, well, what about this? And you go, I don't know. And so you say, I don't know. Some people go, well, and they try to explain it. You're like, no, I just say, I don't know. I'll go find out for you. All right, chapter 2. For brothers, you yourselves know our entrance to you, that it has not been without fruit, but also suffering before and being insulted in Philippi. As you know, we were bold in our God to speak the gospel of God to you in much agony. So it's like, man, you just came in. Christians are abused. It's funny. No other religion in the world is abused like Christians. You know, it's like the liberals will go, we stand with Hamas. And they're like, but they don't like anything you do. And they're like, oh, we stand with them. But if you say Christian, they're like, Christians are horrible. And we're like, we love you no matter what. And they're like, I don't understand. You guys are, it doesn't make any sense. It's like, every other religion is excused. Mohammedism, you know, Buddhism, whatever. It's okay, but don't be a Christian. As long as you're not a Christian, because they feel like they're judged by us. And we're not. We're not. I mean, real Christians don't judge people. There are people who are Christians who judge people. But that's because they don't have good teaching. It's not because they're bad Christians. It's because they have bad teaching. You know, if you teach someone how to fix a car incorrectly, they're going to fix cars incorrectly. So you got to have good teaching. So you go. That's why I said in my little thing, I don't know that I forgive the teachers. Because they should be, you don't stand up and say, I'm a teacher without spending time with God and go, God, first of all, God, do you want me to do this? And second of all, spending time with God so that what you're giving is truth. That is my biggest fear, is that I'll stand up and say something incorrect and I will wreck somebody's life. I don't ever want to do that. So hopefully, if I do, I would, God, cover that. And it's good, and God will. That's the thing about God, is he will cover it. God, I said something stupid came out of my mouth, and that was not you. Will you please cover that? And he will. He'll soften that person's heart, have them forget, you know, whatever. I don't know. I don't know what he does, but he can do that. He can cover your stupidity. For our exhortation was not of error, nor of uncleanliness, nor in guile, but even as we have had approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. You guys know you're entrusted with the gospel. You are, as Watchman Nee, you guys have spiritual authority. We don't practice that enough. We have spiritual authority, which means you go and you share, and then you let God defend you and protect you. You don't do it yourself. You just say what God says. Just say what comes out of your mouth. You know, you just, there are a few times when God has told me to say something I hadn't and I regret it. And there's other times when God has told me something and I said it and man, it was a blessing. It's like, just say it. You don't have to defend yourself. You don't have to, whatever, just speak what God has for you to say. He already lined everything out for it to take effect. So, and I think the worst time was when God told me to say something I didn't and then somebody else said it. And I was like, oh, golly, I should have said it. And that guy said it. That guy obeyed God, and I didn't. And that pricks me. It's gentle. It's like, I should trust you, God. I mean, what's the worst that could happen? You know, I look like an idiot. Who cares? Doesn't matter. You know, you could save a life or look like an idiot. I'll look like an idiot to save a life. So, because, you know, a lot of times the Bible says a lot of times some people sow and other people's will reap. So you may sow a seed and it looked like nothing happened. You have no idea what that starts in them, sowing that seed. It's a little seed that, because what do seeds do? Germinate. They germinate. They grow. So you planted that seed and they're like, I don't like that seed, but it's still in there. It's growing. And then they'll hear something else and they're like, oh, I heard that the other day. And then they'll hear something else and they're like, I wonder if there's something to this. And then somebody will come up and say, hey, blah, blah, blah. And they're like, yeah, I think I'm ready. That seed has grown in them and that they're ready to hear who God is. There's a psychological thing, you know, I don't believe in psychology, it's garbage, but they'll say, if you hear something three times, you believe it. And that's what the media does. They use that all the time. They're like, they'll say something and then they'll get another media person to say it, another media person, and then the mass amount of people will just believe it. Well, I heard that three times, so it must be true. So, but that's what a seed does. The devil takes things that God did and he pollutes it. So the devil didn't make anything. He never created anything. Devil can't do anything good or unique. He can just take what God does and he pollutes it. So don't ever say, like, people say, well, rock and roll is bad. You're like, well, God created music, you know. Where's your heart at? You know, it all has to do with your heart. Anyway, not as pleasing men, but God. And that's hard too, because a lot of churches please men. They're like, why is that church so big? It's like, because they're into pleasing men. And they're like, well, they have all these great programs. Yeah, and that's they're doing that to keep you there. It's not because it's God's will. It's because it feeds your flesh. You're like, yeah, but it's so good. I'm like, yeah, but no, it's feeding your flesh. It's not feeding you. If you're not pricked, if you're not, you're like, oh, you know, you don't hear from God. You're just like, well, that was a nice, comfortable message, and I feel great after. When you go to church, you should feel good afterwards, but you should also be, you should want to do something or feel something or, you know, get in the Word more or whatever. It's like, that's the whole point. It's like it's to spur you on. Again, not in your own strength. I was talking to a young man yesterday, and he's like, I went to this meeting on how to be a good dad. And he was telling me all this stuff. I was like, yeah, but don't do it in your own strength, because you will be a horrible dad if you do it in your own strength. Do it in God's strength. And he knows Jesus. And he's like, oh,
That's true. Don't do it in my own strength. It's like, we can't. We'll be terrible parents. I mean, I love God as much as I do, and I do things, and I'm like, oh, I shouldn't have done that as a parent. That was stupid. We're trying to figure out Gabby because she is so active. Like, you'll say things to her like 10 times, and you finally have to scream it so she hears you. And she's like, what? I'm like, wow, where's your brain? I just said, stop doing that. And I just want to speak gently. Gabby, stop doing that. She doesn't. But, you know, it's like, you got to seek God for that. God, how do we reach our child? I mean, it's not like she's doing anything wrong, but it's like, I want her to, oddly enough, that's the same thing God is, hey, Dave, can you do this? Hey, Dave, can you do this? Hey, Dave, can you do this? You're like, oh, yeah, sorry, God. Yeah, God. That's what kids are. Kids are our explanation to how God, we are with God. Amen. They are. It's exactly the way we are with God. Oh, man. Hallelujah. We don't please men, but we please God, who tests our hearts. For neither were we found with words of flattery, even as you know, not with pretense of covetousness. So it's good. We don't. If as a pastor is just flattering you, and he's not challenging you, then that you get away from that pastor. Go find another pastor.
Just look in the mirror.
Yeah.
You'll know his life.
Yeah, exactly. You could see their life. It's oddly enough about this thing that happened with Gateway. The church always just kind of rubbed me wrong, and now that this has happened, it's like I have a peace about it. It's like I'm hoping that God will do something with that church. I know God will do something with that church. There's nothing wrong with that church. It's just they had leadership that wasn't. He wasn't submitted to God. He wasn't submitted to God. He was in his own strength, and that's what you can see about it. When you talk to people who were around him, you're like, "Oh man, he was charismatic." Yeah, but then that went to his head, and he's like, "Man, look what I can do. Look how big my church is. Look how much money it brings in." And it's like he was just. I'm not judging the man. I could easily be him. So hallelujah, because of God, I'm not. Did you want to say something?
No, I just want to ask something.
Yeah.
I have no idea what you're talking about. As far as Gateway, you keep saying Gateway, I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, they're the head pastor.
Stepped down
because he had some indiscretions with some young people.
Oh, okay.
So.
Oh, there you go. Thank you.
Yeah. And it was just because he wasn't humble. I know, I don't remember if I told it here or not. There was another guy who went to a pastor who is in prison, and he said, "Why don't you love God?" He goes, "I love God. I just didn't fear him." And that's true. We can love God. We can love God all day long. But if we don't, fear doesn't mean fear. It just means reverence. You know, it's like what I was saying is, I don't want anything to come out of my mouth that would.
I'm sorry. Kathy just made something up.
Yeah, please.
You may be aware of something. I wanted to add this in because you can hear what we're saying.
Yeah.
About this guy.
Yeah.
It was 20 years ago.
So right.
We have no clue how far along God's brought him from that.
Absolutely. Again, that's why. That's why I can't judge him.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't know enough about it anyway.
Yeah.
Just like you said, we've all been in certain places.
Right.
Never be.
Exactly. Yeah. So I can't judge him. I don't know his heart. Only God knows his heart.
Yeah.
I can only see his actions. And again, it was 20 years ago.
And God let it come out. The
right. That's what.
Bring him up much higher.
Yeah.
If he's falling after the Lord, this is nothing but good.
Right.
It's taken him out of a place he didn't need to be.
Right.
Taking him somewhere else.
Right. Right.
Well, I pray for him.
I do. Absolutely. I pray that he becomes much deeper with God.
Amen.
So. It's good. It's always, you know what, it is a relief when if you've ever had a hidden sin and it comes out, it's such a relief. You're like, oh, I don't have to hide that anymore.
Yeah.
And Mary would always say, I always find out your sins. I'm like, babe, you find out like 1% of my sins. But I will let you continue to think that you've figured out all my sins. So, but it's good. I hate hiding things from my wife. It puts a rift in our relationship. So I'm always glad when she finds out something stupid I've done. I'm like, thank you, Jesus. the only reason I would hide it from her is because I don't want the argument, because it'll be 3 hours and then it'll come up 2 months later and 6 months later. I'm just like, I don't want to deal with that. But be a man, Dave. Just it's your wife. Just be honest with her. Hey, I screwed up. Will you forgive me? And she go, yeah, I forgive you. You know, she stuck with me. I told her, when we get married, we don't believe in divorce. So it ain't happening. You can murder me, but you can't divorce me. So yeah, I don't judge him. I don't know where he's at. I can hear what people are saying, but that doesn't mean anything, because that's not what God said. God, and the Bible says God puts up and takes down men. So if God was ready for him to do something else, God moved him on. You know, I mean, the woman that charged him has been trying to do it for 20 years. And so it finally happened. So why didn't it happen 20 years ago? Because God had a purpose and a plan, and God uses men to do all sorts of things. Like I said, even if the man is totally wicked, like God used Pharaoh and God used Nebuchadnezzar, God used all these people to do his will. So I can't say what God has for him. And I pray for him. I pray that he is, you know, whatever God has for him, he finds it. Where I'm at. I took my finger off the spot. For neither were we found with words of flattery, as you know, nor with pretense of covetousness. God is witness, nor seeking glory from men, neither from you nor from others, having been able to do so with heaviness as apostles in Christ Jesus. I think it's interesting. I've met a few people. I'm sure there's more. And they always go, well, I want to be a pastor. And I'm like, if you need a title to preach the gospel, then you're not interested in preaching the gospel. You're interested in that title. You're like, well, it will make me legit. You're like, no. I don't care who you are. You could be a bum on the street preaching the gospel. That's what God's interested in. A title is nothing. A title doesn't mean anything. It's just a stupid word that people made up and said, hey, this guy is a pastor. You're like, I think the entire church should be preaching the gospel, spending time in the word, you know, sharing. Anyway, hallelujah. I'm beating a dead horse. You guys know that. But we were gentle in your midst, even as a nurse should warmly cherish her children. So that's what I'm saying. It was interesting. Last week I was reading a Jude. It talks about sometimes you have to be gentle and sometimes you have to be aggressive when you're sharing the gospel. And I always judge those people that are on the street. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And they're screaming, you're going to go to hell. And I'm like, man, that would not do anything for me. But you know, it might do something for somebody. So God said, you ask me how you need to talk to this person. Some person may need a strong word to come to the Lord. But most people, I would say for the most part, most people need a gentle word to come to Jesus. Because you give them a strong word and they immediately close you off. You know, and they're shut and they're not going to hear you. So that's why you got to ask God. Let your words come out of my mouth and not my own. Longing over you in this way, we were pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our souls, because you have become beloved to us. So it's good. You know, it's like, I'm not only giving you, it's like as a believer, I want to give you Jesus, but also, you know, part of me. It's like we're a body. That's what a body is. It's all unified. And that's the problem with the church, is the church isn't unified. We're all parts of different bodies. We should all be part of the same body. When the Holy Spirit talks in the Catholic Church and the Holy Spirit talks in the Baptist Church and the Holy Spirit talks, God should be sharing the same word with us. The problem is we're all divided, and so we're not even talking to each other. We're like, because you believe that dumb thing, and that's wrong. And I don't know if that's the devil or what it is. Why people just are divided like that? So, anyway, for brothers, you remember our labor and toil, night and day, working in order not to put a burden on any one of you,
we proclaim to you the gospel of God. You and God are witness how holy and righteously and blamelessly we were to you, those believing even as you know I was to each one of you as a father to his children, exhorting and consoling you, testifying to you to walk worthily of God, he calling you his kingdom to his kingdom in glory. Man. I can't even imagine what it's going to be like. I mean, we're in this, like Dad would always say that. He always say, heaven is now. You get a taste of it. If you're enjoying what's now, I can't even imagine what heaven's going to be like. And it's just, hallelujah. And because of this, we give thanks to God without ceasing, that having received the word of the word of hearing from us, you welcomed it as of God, not as of the word of men, but as it is truly the word of God, which also works in you, the ones believing. So when you're ready to hear God and someone speaks the truth, your spirit just receives it. Man, it's like, that's true. Like worship leaders are that way. I can tell when a worship leader loves God and is hearing from God, and when it's just entertainment. Excuse me. I mean, you could say, man, that person has a relationship with God. Same with musicians. You can say, that person's just trying to make money. Or you're like, that person loves God and is wanting to share what God has put in their heart. Ministers are the same way. You can tell when someone loves God. And that's what, if you guys are bold enough to go and talk to people, people will see that. They're like, why are you opening your mouth up and talking to me just randomly, this random person? I find myself doing that more and more, and it's fun. And you find out people are actually very receptive to it. And you'd think, and the devil will try to trick you and say, don't open your mouth. They're going to come at you or be... But most people are actually very, very receptive. Hey, can I talk to you about Jesus? Yeah, absolutely. Can I pray for you? Absolutely. Even people who aren't believers, and you say, can I pray for you? If they're falling apart, they're like, yeah, whatever. Doctors, drugs, prayer, whichever one works, that's what I'll go with. They're okay with you praying for them. So, whew, golly.
I think it's also true that if you've got the gift of evangelism, when it comes out, it'll bring the other person out.
Absolutely.
I mean, both are true. They may be open, but also when the gift goes out, it'll get a response.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's true. It won't come back void. The Bible says that. It will not come back void. Where am I at? For brothers, 14? Am I? Sorry. Anybody else reading along?
No, I just said they're loud Christians.
Can you tell us where we are? I'm kind of
I think 14.
Yeah.
For brothers, you became imitators of the churches of God, being in Judea, in Christ Jesus, because you also suffered these things by your own fellow countrymen, as they were also Jews, also by the Jews. So remember, so these guys are among the Jews, and they're Jews, and the Jews are, and their fellow countrymen are like, hey, we had this thing for thousands of years now, and you guys have walked away for this new thing. And they're being persecuted for it. But it's like, no, this is what we've been waiting for. This is the culmination of everything we've been waiting for. This is it. You guys are missing it. This is the Messiah, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, also driving us out and not
pleasing God and being contrary to all men. It was interesting about, because I've been going through the Old Testament, it's amazing how many times the prophets were killed for speaking the truth. And you're like, oh my gosh, I don't want to, you know, it's like, I guess if I need to die for God, so be it. And then maybe I'll get a book written about me. You know, this guy believed in God. But how many prophets were killed and no books were written about them? We don't even know about them. But they still did. You know, it's like, but I guarantee you that an impact, they had an impact on somebody and something and somehow and something happened because of they were obedient to God. We may not know about it. We may not know about it till heaven. It'd be kind of fun when we get to heaven. God shows us all the videos of how it, our life impacted somebody. That would be fun to see. Yeah. How, you know, I mean, we don't know. I don't even want to know. I just want my life to impact people, but I don't care. I don't care to know. Like I prayed for this woman one time. It was funny. She was she was Jewish, and I could tell she was in a lot of pain. And I prayed for her, and I said, "Can I pray for you?" She goes, "Well, I don't think we have the same God." I said, "Well, what do you mean?" She goes, "Well, I'm Jewish." I said, "Well, yeah, we have the same God." She goes, "Well, but I'm Jewish and you're Christian." I'm like, "That's okay." I don't know if she got healed, but I prayed for her that day, and I hope she got healed. I hope it changed her life. But it didn't matter. I just was stupid for God. Hey, can I pray for you? Oh, I'm Jewish. We don't have the same God. Yeah, we do. Now, if a Muslim says we have the same God, we don't. They do not. They'll say we do, but we do not, because their God's a liar. Their word says that, their Bible says that he's a liar. The Quran says that he's the greatest deceiver ever. I'm like, our God doesn't lie. That's what our Bible says. He doesn't lie. So not the same God. But an interesting, you guys probably know this, interesting fact. The Quran says to believe Jesus, but then the Muslims say that the Bible, or to believe Jesus and the Bible, but then they say the Bible's polluted. And so I'm like, well, is Muhammad a liar? If the Quran says that you have to believe the Bible and Jesus. So either the Quran is true, if the Quran is true, then the Bible is true. And if the Bible is true, then the Quran is false, because the Bible says the Quran is false. So their religion just falls apart right there. So those are the people that you got to speak hard to, because that's they're into power. They're into strength. You know, don't speak gently to Muslims. God is, I told this, Holly's brother, Holly in church. This is incredible. I love it. He says things so concisely. He was talking to his cousin, and his cousin was trying to decide who God was. And he said, his cousin was talking about the guy, the Norse God and all this kind of stuff. He goes, I don't know who your God is. He goes, but my God has a name and it's God. I'm like, yes, that is the truth. There is, you can't get past that. My God has a name and his name is God. Doesn't matter who your God is. He's not real. My God is God, the God, the only God, you know, omnipotent. Powerful, everything. hindering us from speaking to the nations in order that they should be saved. Where am I at? Oh. And to fill up their...
What verse?
Sorry, I'm going to go back a little bit. I'm going to go back to 15. Who both killed Jesus and their own prophets, also driving out and not pleasing God and being contrary to all men, hindering us from speaking to the nations in order that they be saved, to fill up their sins always, but the wrath has come on them to the uttermost. Remember, when God came to the Jews, he said, or the Israelites, he said, hey, I'm God, I want you to be my people, and go tell everybody. And they didn't, they just kept it. They're like, this is our little secret. He's our God, and you can't have it. But he told him, he said, go and share the gospel, share who I am, share, this is God and he's awesome. But they didn't, they just kept it. And then every time the prophets would come and say, you guys are being wicked, they'd kill that prophet. And, you know, it's like, anyway. But brothers, we being taken away from you from an hour's time in presence, but not in heart. So they're not there physically, but they're in spirit. We were much more eager with much desire to see you face to face. Therefore, we desire to come to you truly, I, Paul, both once and twice, but Satan has hindered us. For what is our hope or joy, crowning and glory? And you are not even to be before our Lord Jesus Christ. At his coming? For you are our glory and our joy. That's true. I mean, when you your crown in heaven. They brought that up a lot in Baptist school. They're like, you're going to have a crown in heaven, and it's going to have jewels, and based on how much stuff you do, is how many jewels you ever. And they made a big deal about that. And I thought, God, I'm going to have a tiny little crown, and it's going to have like three or four little jewels on it. I know. That was a big deal to them, and it was like, but you know what our crown and our glory is the people that we tell about Jesus and they give their life to Jesus. That's what it is. It's our family and our friends and our neighbors. And that's our glory. It's not a stupid crown or whatever. My glory is people that I lead to Jesus and they spend eternity with their Creator. And it's not even my glory. It's just God in me. It's just me being a vessel. Vessels don't do anything. They're only, God made me and then I said, please use me.
Your dad said, we were talking about the robe of righteousness and all that.
Yeah.
And he said, he was afraid he was just going to have a little bikini.
Yeah. Oh, man. I'm going to read just a little more into chapter 3. So no longer enduring, we pleased to be left in Athens alone and sent Timothy, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow worker in the gospel of Christ, in order to establish you and to encourage you concerning your faith. So that's good. So he said, hey, I can't make it, but I'm sending Timothy to you. That's awesome. That's what our church does. We can't go everywhere, but we can raise people up, teach them, disciple them, and then send them somewhere where they can share the word. It's good. I mean, wherever you're at, that's where you're supposed to be sharing, and, you know, in your job and your business and your, the thing of the day, I don't know, back in the whenever, you know, you're not supposed to talk about politics or you're not supposed to talk about religion. You know, it's like, who cares? I mean, don't talk about politics. That's dumb. But talk about God wherever you're at. Let people know. You know, if you're doing God's thing, man can't do anything to you. That's a spiritual authority. When you have spiritual authority, it doesn't matter. You got to be listening to God. That's the problem, is that some people go do stuff in the name of God and they're not listening to God. And God didn't tell them to do it. And then, you know, all hell comes down on them because they weren't listening to God. So make sure it's God. So anyway, hallelujah. The church should be in unity. So I encourage you to talk to people of other, you know, that are in other denominations and fellowship with them. A couple of weeks ago, I talked to a young guy who is Church of Christ. And man, that guy's got some legalism in him. I felt horrible for him. I was like, golly, you are. And there's such bondage. There's nothing wrong with the Church of Christ. They love Jesus. They're going to go to heaven. But he's just like, I gotta do all this stuff for God. It's like, wow, man, you're putting a burden on yourself that God already took, and you're taking it back. Jesus said, you know, my burden is easy. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. He said, I am in you to will and to do. And if you're trying to do it in your own strength, you're going to be miserable because you can't. And he was. He was trying to be good in his own strength. You know, he's like, I'm struggling, you know, with doing everything right. It's like, man, God loves you right as you are, and he said he would perfect you. And you'll see that when you are in a relationship. The problem is people are always trying to, as the saying goes, put the cart before the horse. I got to be good so God will use me. It's like, no, you just have to be willing. God will perfect you, and then he'll use you even in your unperfected state, because you are perfect, because Christ is in us. He already said you're righteous even though you don't see it, because you're still seeing your flesh, but your flesh is dead. And we always confuse that between our spirit and our flesh. Our spirit loves Jesus, loves communing with Jesus, and our flesh is always fighting with that. But our flesh is dead, and we have to remind ourselves daily, hey, you're dead. You don't get to talk. I only do and say what I hear the Father saying in heaven. You don't get to talk. You're dead. I was crucified with Christ. So that means my flesh is crucified, and when Christ rose again, I'm righteous and holy. So that's why Paul says, I have to die daily. We forget. We forget, and we let our flesh speak up. Ah, shut up, flesh. You're not the deal. You're and the antithesis of what God is trying to say. You're the opposite of what God is saying. You're saying, oh, I can't do that. It's too hard. And the Holy and your Spirit says, I can do it. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So, hallelujah. I hope you guys were blessed today. And thank you, guys. Always, if you guys want to speak up, always speak up. I love that. This is you guys hear God as much as I do. So don't. If God pricks your heart, don't be afraid to open up your mouth and say something. So. Hallelujah. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Let our everything coming out of our mouth today be edifying to one another. Thank you that we are salt and light to the world and that we know it's you and not our own strength. Thank you for destroying our pride and our own self-reliance to remind us that we rely totally on you, but you have given us the strength and the ability. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Um